I'm gonna smash this beat. You already know what time it is. This mother beat ain't gonna catch up with me, boys. Platinum time, beat.
It is
one of the best ones we have
ever.
The only thing better than that is having him on live. Let's welcome back Platinum Mike Perry. Mike, how are you?
Hey, that was a good one. I like it, man. I'm doing all right. You know, feeling like a winner.
How many Mai Tais have you had since Saturday?
Shoot, I ain't had none. I had I bought the little syrup mix bottle, but I need a bartender to make it for me. So, and you know, bars are all closed up again, and COVID back in full swing. So, I did have some Patron, and yesterday I got drunk actually, and it wasn't great.
Well, I was going to ask the question, and I don't know if you know the answer, Matt. Maybe you do. What is a Mai Tai and what's in it? I have no idea.
Yeah, my mom was telling me she's been a bartender for 20 years, so when I come back home, she'll make me a Mai Tai.
Do you know what's in it?
I think it's just vodka and some type of liquid sweetener and... I don't know what all goes into it. Probably lime and mashup of something.
I don't know. I was being serious. You know, I don't really drink. I don't really like it. So I had no idea what was in it. But second, because we've already talked for a few minutes. Congratulations on your win on Saturday.
Thank you.
We talked 2 weeks ago about going in, no fans, you know, the crowd. What was it like once you got in? Was it everything you expected it to be with the silence? Did it affect you at all, or did you like it better?
I mean, it was pretty cool fighting for the people who, I mean, look, those UFC folks, they're at all the fights. They work so hard. They used to go all over the country, or they still are. I don't know. All over the world with these fights. Every week it's the same group of people just setting up the cage, taking it down, talking to all the athletes, getting things going. Like, and we're tough to deal with, but they do it every single week. And those are the people who gotta appreciate the fight. So, I mean, I get that it becomes work, and they probably just, you know, maybe when the fights are going on, that's a better part of their job. And sometimes it's a good fight that they get lost in, and they probably really enjoy watching it. So I had fun fighting in that room for those people, and just for myself and for my girl, and just fighting to fight. And, you know, it was a good time, man. I had a lot of time to think, a lot of, like, I could just set up the fight in my head in between rounds and throughout the fight. It just felt, you know, it felt good.
Hey Mikey, I got to say this because I don't get a lot of opportunities to compliment my boss here, but Randy has been doing what you just spoke about for 25 years. He's been traveling with the promotion since UFC 11. He's been the biggest fan and advocate of the sport. And I truly believe in my heart that it wouldn't be where it is today without the work of this man sitting across the table from me. And recognized by Dana as the OG, the GOAT. And so, yeah, man, it's I definitely want to take a moment to say thank you, Randy, for what you've done. And
it's all good.
No,
all right, stop.
Hey, I can respect that. I can respect it, man. I know he's a good guy. He's always been humble and kind to me, even when I've been an asshole or I'm rude, because, you know, I get a lot of rudeness, even when I've been an asshole or I'm rude, because, you know, I get a lot of rudeness, and then I might take it out on the wrong people sometimes. But he understands the sport, and us athletes get like that because, you know, it's confusing, the balance between life and fighting people for a living. So
sure. Well, and taking that one step, and thank you both. Neither one of you guys needed to say that, but thank you. I appreciate it. But taking that one step further, and I've talked to a lot of the NFL guys as well, and, you know, from a media standpoint, you guys as athletes have no idea who you can trust, you know, who you can talk to, who you can open up to. You know, a lot of times, and I'll throw all the media under the bus, I don't really care. If you say the wrong thing, they run with it, to make you look bad, you meaning any athlete, not you, Mike Perry. And that's one of my biggest complaints is, you know, that's not what this is supposed to be about. It's supposed to let the world find out who Mike Perry is or who Chuck Liddell is so that they can get a fan base, so it can build up not only the organization that you guys fight for, but it can build up your fan base and help make you more money.
Hey, it is what it is. You know, like I, when you were explaining that to me and then you explained that you were talking about any athlete, not just me, I feel like things like that don't need to be explained. If people want to think of things wrong and it's not the way you meant it, that's their problem. That's their fault. Shouldn't have to explain yourself when you had no malice intent. So, you know, like people automatically go to the wrong way of thinking all the time. And instead of just relaxing, taking a breath, and seeing where life really is for them, they wanna get mad or frustrated because they're bored or there's nothing to do and things like that. That's kind of a thing that my girlfriend teaches me, and another reason why.
So Mike, speaking of that, if Randy's the legend for the past, we got to call you the trendsetter. So Mike, speaking of that, if Randy's the legend for the past. We got to call you the trendsetter for what you did of bringing your girl in the corner and making a statement about not needing a coach inside the octagon. How has been the response from the MMA community? Have people reached out to you personally, privately, saying they're going to change their thinking or their strategy going forward?
A few people have. I mean, obviously, there's lots of messages and also lots of messages that I don't even see or look at. But a few messages that I have looked at, yes, people are. I don't know if I would say trendsetter because it's not something that's going to become a trend. People aren't going to be doing this. One, because they're scared and they think that they need help and they think that those guys on the side are going to help them. Two, the sport, I don't know. Like Daniel Cormier said, he was like surprised that nobody stepped up and said something, but it's fighting at the end of the day, and you've always been able to just get someone a quarter license with $50, and you bring them in, and that's how we started fighting, bro. Like, you just show up and you fight, and with your boys or with your friends or who you keep the closest. I used to go to fights with like my girl when I was like 18, when I had a girlfriend then. I would bring, it was just me and her, you know. It's the same me that I've always been. So, you know, Gilbert Burns, I thought it was funny that he tweeted and said that his wife wants to be in the corner now. And so, who knows? He's so tough, he'll probably do it, and he'll be just fine. I'm sure that they work out together all the time and stuff, and they post videos on Instagram of, and they're involved with each other and active a lot. So, you know, it would be interesting to see what only the realest fighters would do it. And, you know, if it's in their head a lot, though, it might affect their performance. You got to just have your head, whatever makes you comfortable for your best performance. And I don't like anybody, so to have the one person I like and to really be fighting for something really made a big difference for me. And I had I did have a chip on my shoulder, and I still do. I'm very angry with the way a lot of people, fans or whatever, want to, you know, they're like, I'm a character and this and that, and they think it's a game, and that they play along with the worst type of trash talk that they can come up with, and that becomes, you know, it's a game for them. This is my life, and I'm not a character. I'm Platinum Mike Perry, for real, for real. Like, I'm a real person like this. I'm really like this. And if you think it's a game and you challenge me, it's not going to end well for you.
One of the things that bothered me personally, you know, I hate the male-female, whether it's a girlfriend or not. I once cornered Wes Sims when he fought Bobby Lashley, and I guarantee you, your girlfriend knows more about cornering you than I did cornering Wes Sims. And I'm being for real, you know, in the words of Mike Perry, I'm being for real. I didn't know what I was doing up there, but nobody said a word about it that I was cornering Wes Sims in this fight.
Right.
I had a license. We paid the fee, you know. So just because it's Mike's girlfriend or a wife or whatever to me is just bizarre. But that's people. Well, that's haters.
Well, look, the thing is that with the time leading up to the fight, I was able to have conversations with her and teach her on what I might be looking from or for from her. So, you know, I was kind of, in a way, coaching my coach. And I did have a coach. I had a corner. She was there. She held mitts. We warmed up together. She kept my mind in the right place. She prayed for me before we walked out. And who knows, that might have been the biggest thing of it all. Like, I didn't ask her to. I didn't think we were going to. I didn't know. I wasn't even thinking about it. And then she comes over and she just wanted to pray for me. And who knows if that wasn't the one thing that got the job done that night.
Sure. Matt brought up about, you know, who has reached out to you about the corner. I'm kind of curious who has reached out to you about, you mentioned about putting a team together and you mentioned South Florida, because I saw a tweet from a very good friend of mine who does have putting together something, Dean Thomas. I know that he reached out to you. Has any other of these teams or up-and-coming teams reached out to you?
Yeah, man. I've talked to some great athletes. But, you know, I don't really know. I mean, I'm going to South Florida. I'm looking for places right now. And whatever's clever, but I really don't want to, like, you know, I don't know how they're going to want to do it or whatever, and then I will just, like, easily be like, okay, well, I don't want to do it that way, so I won't do it, and I'll do it my way, because my way seems to work, so,
indeed.
You know, and I like Dean Thomas, though, that's what I wanted to say. I like Dean. I knew him from a while back. I've trained out of school that he had up in Central Florida, and he had some coaches up there, and he'd come in from time to time and come check us out, and he knows me from back in the day, so that's, you know, he reached out. He's a good dude. I know he worked with T. Woodley, whom I respect. I like that guy too, but no other, I don't think, to be honest. It's like I said in my post-fight interviews, where I see Yoel Romero is the guy to work with that will make me better and be able to handle and learn how to handle that weight difference at 185. And because I'm getting bigger, my weight cut for this 170 fight was on point, perfect, couldn't have gotten any more off of me. And it was 171 on the dot, and I'm getting bigger. I mean, my appetite since the weight cut has just, it just goes up. Like, I remember how it used to be when I was younger, when I went from 155 to, and I cut a couple times from like 75 to 55, and then it was like I was 190. And now there was days when I went up to 200, but that had stopped, and I balanced out at 185. And then as soon as I started dieting for the last fight, I went up to 190. My body, my hunger came back. And now ever since I've made weight, I've been eating like a king, and, you know, I think there's a good chance that I could be a bigger athlete soon enough and be stronger and be able to go up to 185.
Mike, so, you know, obviously, if you make your way across to the...
Here you're going to go and say, Pete, and come in
to
for pizza.
To the Tampa Bay area, searching for a new gym. You always got a home here at Tour de Pizza. I'll definitely cook for you.
I still haven't went and got the damn cauliflower crust pizza. I gotta go try that.
I got you. I had a question. Like, a week of the fight, you actually posted a video of your knuckles being busted up, your forehead being busted up. You know, who was that for? What was it for the fans, for the haters, to draw up controversy? You know, what was the mindset behind that post?
He was going through his phone. It just kind of didn't stop
it. It was a troll because it was old, and it wasn't a week before the fight, and it was kind of, you know, Cowboy Cerrone had got me with the same thing. He had done that to me, and but his wasn't real. Mine was legit. Come on, dogs, outside. And so, I mean, I had told the story on Helwani and on Unfiltered of what happened. It was like an old bar brawl. And I headbutted some dude and punched the other dude. And when I went to hit him again, I hit the wall. And then I was working out on the bag, bare knuckle, and punched the... was punching the bag, bare knuckle, and busted the, you know, scabs open and stuff. But I saved the video because I knew it was going to be good to get people with.
Well, and it did, and then people, I saw they were asking Dana about it, and Dana just chuckled.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty funny. What? How long do you want to rest? How long until, you know, you want to get back in, and do you want to go Vegas, or do you want to go Fight Island? How long do you want to
rest? How long until you want to get back in? Man, I mean, Fight Island sounds interesting, and like, you know, I got people try to get in your ears. And they try to tell you things, you know, especially money people. And they want to say, some people want to tell me, you know, I'm good in America. I might not want to go to Dubai. Also, long flight and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, man, why not travel? And then I'm like, no, I'm really just want to take my girl. Like, you know, I'm going on this long trip, like it's a vacation when I go fight, baby. Let's go get this money and let's go to the beach on Fight Island in Dubai. And you know, I need some security so they don't try to kidnap my girl over there. So, you know, I mean, I do my best to watch her back, but I could use some help, especially if I'm cutting weight.
So then you would take people with you for there.
I was about to fight some construction worker in Las Vegas.
Right.
He was about 230 pounds, and he was following me and walking up on me when I was finishing my workout. I had just ran 4 miles, and I was walking for a cool down. And I was like, around and started walking towards his ass. I was like, all right, then, let's go. And then he saw around and started walking towards his ass. I was like, all right, then, let's go. And then he saw my ears and started walking away from me. He told me to go back to MMA. I said, all right, stop talking that trash then.
He said that to you, go back to that MMA?
Yeah.
And what day was this? What day did this happen?
This was like Wednesday.
Wow.
Wednesday or Thursday. It was Wednesday because I was sick all night. Tuesday, I had a drink. Wow. And we walked around Vegas, and I had some crappy food at the Vanderpump place. And I went home and went to sleep that night at the residence, and that was, I woke up at 2:30 or like 2:03, threw up, went back to bed after I sipped some water, woke up at 3:03, threw up. Went back to bed, woke up at 4:03, woke up at 5:03, woke up at 6:03. I was throwing up all morning. I said, for sure I got COVID. They're going to test me in the morning, and they're going to be like, you can't fight. All week I was thinking, damn, I might not be able to fight. I was also thinking, I don't know, I'm Mike Perry. I might just have COVID, and they might just be like, let him fight. And then, so, you know, I don't really know, but... And so then I was sick all night, and I got up. I finally got some rest and stopped being sick, and then I knew I had to cut. If I didn't throw up all night, I might not have made weight, so it was really helpful. I got all that food out, and I just kept losing weight all night long. And then I went and ran 4 miles through the strip, and then this construction worker on the way back being a jerk.
I think we all need to sit down and come up with a YouTube Mike Perry's weight cutting system.
Very simple.
If you need a new corner for Dubai, Randy's got experience, and I'll be your back. I'll be your muscle behind you. So you let us know, man. We'll make the trip.
Yeah, whoever's willing to pay me about $30,000, I got 2 seats for you. You'll be sitting next to LaTorre. $30,000 to be my corner. I'm not paying corners no more. Corner's gonna pay me.
There you go.
That's people will pay that.
And
they'll pay that all day to be in Mike Perry's corner.
Absolutely.
All day.
And when you can't go to Fight Island or you can't go to these fights, It's a money-making business right there, Mike. Good job.
There you go, buddy.
I mean, what the heck? I should have sold him for that one. But I wanted it to be special. I wanted to show my girl, look, it could just be you and me against the world, and it ain't going to matter. I'm going to handle business. I'm going to take care of us. And I'm going to do it for you. And I did. Boom.
You did it.
Fifth life to the maximum.
And I, Mike, before I let you go, I just want to tell you that I thought the after press conference was just as classy as everything that you have done, where people were trying to dump on Mickey. And, you know, you kind of said, you know, this isn't against Mickey, and it's not, don't take the win away from me by saying Mickey is this or Mickey is that. I went out there, I dominated that fight, and Mickey Gall is a pretty damn good fighter.
He did a good job, man. I was happy for the kid. I thought he did well. I thought his kickboxing was pretty good. I was happy to see it because he gave me a good little fight. Let me hit him a few times and find him in different places. But I'm not going to lie. Well, I'm not going to say necessarily a bad thing because you can compare. I'm going to compare him to one of the better fighters of all time, Nate Diaz. He's a weak, tall, skinny little, and they trying to make that fight happen right now. I mean, I don't see why Nate Diaz would even come back for any reason other than you come back for your fight purse and your paycheck that's on contract, and you can go get that money. I'm sure his contract's pretty good. It doesn't matter who I fight. I'm on contract. I'm sure my manager can say something or do something or maybe up it for the next one. I'm not sure, but technically, I'm under contract, and when my next fight is here, it's going to be for what it's going to be for. It's not going to matter who it is. It could be any competitor for the money that I'm getting it for. So, it doesn't matter who, and I wouldn't mind fighting another tall, weak, skinny guy who plays the guard, and I'll just sit on top of him and punch him in the face and get that paycheck. You know, let's rack up some wins. I don't care who I fight, though. I really don't. They can call me for anybody, anywhere, anytime, whatever. I'm not going to say no. I say yes. Let's go get this money.
Well, as soon as you know, give us a holler. Of course, we'd love to get you on every week, any week, anytime you have some time. Knockout Radio is your home. As always, Platinum Mike Perry, thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate you guys. Look forward to speaking again. Thanks.
Absolutely. Good
job.
Platinum Mike Perry, what a good dude.
Awesome guy.
I was telling his managers, and I know we need to hit this break, I was telling his managers about how we first met, and they didn't know the story, and they thought it was pretty funny. Platinum Mike Perry is part of the Randy regime. All right, we're way behind. Let's hit this break. Then we'll come back and get Jim Allers on, and then after that, Josh Emmett. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is MC Hammer, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, putting it down.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Race fans! Saturday, July 11th, Flat Track Racing is coming to Tampa with RPM Promotions. It's Clay by the Bay, presented by Rubenstein Law, representing riders since 1988, and Born to Ride TV and Magazine. Don't miss top amateur and pro racers handlebar to handlebar at over 100 miles an hour, fighting for that $5,000 purse. Special flagman, the legendary Bubba Blackwell. It's Flat Track Racing back in Tampa. Live pay-per-view from Fight TV. Kids and under 6 are free. Adults, $20. Kids, 6 to 12, $10. Family fun for everyone. You can buy the whole seat, but you'll be sitting on the edge at Clay by the Bay, Saturday, July 11th, East Bay Sports. Speedway. Race fan, here's your chance to win free tickets from Rubenstadt Law and Born to Ride. Just go to Born to Ride TV Magazine Facebook page and tell us why you need to win free tickets. We will be contacting winners. Race fans, don't miss it.
Do you know the difference between jacaranda and a palm? How about what is lethal bronzing and how to stop it? Can you trim a 30-foot rubber tree and know how to clean your equipment after? I answered no to these and many more about the trees in my yard and how to take care of them. Luckily, I know the great guys at Tree Impressions of Florida, and they do. After one call to Tree Impressions of Florida, and I'm ready for hurricane season, or at least my yard will be, don't wait until it's too late. Call Tree Impressions of Florida today at 727-263-9291. You need tree trimming and removal? Watch how they clean up after. Just as impressive as the tree work in itself. Call Tree Impressions of Florida at 727-263-9291 and have one less thing to worry about before the next storm.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
All right, we are back, coming to you live from Tour de Pizza, where we are each and every Wednesday. We're way behind. Enough with the shenanigans. Let's get to the quarter past the hour, which is at the bottom of the hour, BKFC segment.
Yes.
With your main event next month, Jim Allers. Jim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate the time. Sorry for being behind schedule. What's the past couple months been for you, you know, with the pandemic and doing some training, trying to train, maybe not training? Kind of fill us in.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I had to get, you know, creative and use the outdoors as much as possible. I started, you know, just taking long bike rides and brought my rowing machine home and hitting that up. Just kind of doing my own thing for the last couple months before that until everything's kind of started opening back up again. But kind of stay in shape the best that I can, just using nature, you know?
You know, I've talked to a lot of you guys about the difference, obviously, past the obvious of MMA and boxing. But in this case, without the MMA, you don't have to worry about the ground. You don't have to worry about, you know, training that. So how much easier is that, and how much easier would it be now because you don't have to worry about that. You just have to do cardio and obviously your stand up striking.
Man, I think for most people they think that, but you know, I use my jiu-jitsu and wrestling. I train every aspect of fighting still all the time, you know, even though I'm not going for takedowns, you know, I'm still moving people around, putting my weight on them, clinching up, throwing them around the ring, you know, letting them feel my strength and everything like that. So I still wrestle. I still do jiu-jitsu every single day. And I feel that's been a big outcome to my fight, where I'm doing things that, you know, people are only focusing on their stand-up, where you know, the clinch game in this sport is tremendous. You know, it's such a big aspect of it that if you're not really focused on that, you're going to fall behind just trying to box. As you can see, the boxers aren't doing too well in bare knuckle.
Right. Very interesting. Have you ever caught yourself thinking about, you know, not necessarily a takedown, but I was at the first one, and I saw Rico attempt to take a takedown, and then it, you know, kind of thought, you know, hey, I can't do that. Has it ever kind of like in and out real quickly?
You know, honestly, not yet. I don't think. I think maybe one time I thought about throwing a knee. Maybe it kind of happened, but I haven't really thought about doing a takedown just yet. I think most of my fights have been pretty fast, luckily, though.
Right. Right.
So Jimmy, so a year ago I met you as you were one person on a 16-man round robin tournament for the Just Kings promotion. And here we are a year later. Now you're headlining BKFC 11. How much has your life changed in the last 12 months?
Man, definitely with BKFC, I've just kind of blossomed, you know, and broken to what I've really been, the fighter that I should have been this whole time. You know, I've always relied on my jiu-jitsu and definitely a beast in that aspect, you know, just coming at people, taking them down. And, you know, when takedowns weren't an option anymore, I needed to find a way to finish people still. And, you know, I think I've always had this power. People always said I had power in my hands, and it showed in previous fights. It's just that I would knock people down, but I would follow them to the ground and finish them with submission. So now people are really getting to see like the power and strength and speed that I have in my hands. And it's becoming a fan favorite, and definitely, you know, people are starting to notice it, and the fame is just coming there.
It you know, follows after that. Talk about, you know, getting your mind right, and I don't want to talk about any of the other promotions that you've been in, but what it's like fighting in this promotion and how that helps in the mentality and getting your mind right for the fight, knowing it's a Dave Feldman, knowing the organization. At least I think the way they're running it makes it a whole lot easier to cover the sport, to fight in the sport, you know, and everything involved.
Yeah, I definitely think for me too, you know, the whole aspect of how we get paid is pretty awesome. You know, you don't have to worry so much about, man, if I lose, I'm losing half my purse, you know, like many MMA promotions are like. So it's a good option to be like, hey, I'm just going to go out there and give it my all. And, you know, win or lose, I'm going to make the same. I might as well make it an exciting fight. Might as well try to win a bonus while I'm at it. You know, so that's been kind of my mindset this whole time. You know, I'm going to go out there and live by the sword or die by the sword.
So this weekend we saw Mike Perry brought his girlfriend to corner his fight. If you have one person to bring into your corner that's not a coach, who are you bringing?
Man, I've been doing it before. It was cool. My wife has been in my corner my last four bare knuckle fights, and she is definitely my good luck charm.
You know, and Jim, I just got through telling Mike this, you know, because he brought up how people are looking, you know, it's the girlfriend, it's a female. I cornered Wes Sims when he fought Bobby Lashley in Fort Lauderdale. And I guarantee you the Rock outside your front door has more knowledge about cornering someone than I did. Yet they give all you guys, you know, so much crap. And to me, it just bothers me among many things.
Honestly, like we, you know, especially us vets in the game, you know, I'm going on my 25th professional fight, I believe. And, you know, it's good to have someone there to, you know, if anything, they see something maybe sometimes that you don't see. But in the grand midst of things, this is a fight, you know, and you've trained very hard for this fight. You know how you're going to fight. You know what you're going to do. It's kind of good to have someone there to kind of keep you motivated, someone to look to the side when you're like, man, I don't know if I can do this, you know? And you're like, man, this is the reason I'm fighting. This is the reason I'm doing this for, you know? And kind of give you that sense of, man, I gotta get back into this and win this fight.
I never like asking the hypotheticals and asking people to answer for somebody else, but I'm going to break my own rule and I'm going to do it anyway. How difficult is it for her? You know, I've talked to so many people, you know, that are fighters that also do corners, and they've always said, I would rather fight than corner because there's nothing I can do as I'm in somebody's corner. What's it like for her watching you and going through that with you? And obviously you're in the fight and she's not.
Yeah, you know, this has been a wild roller coaster, this whole bare knuckle thing. You know, at first it was just going to be a one and done kind of thing. And the first one happened so fast, I figured, why not? You know, let's do another one. And so she's just been crazy supportive, you know, and I think she definitely believes in me more than I believe in myself at times. So I think for her right now, she's having a great time. It's fighting. It's scary. You know, I'm sure a mixture of emotions happen in all of them, but he definitely doesn't want to see me do another five-round war like I did in my last fight.
How will it be different? And I'm sure you've been a main event before. You know, it's longer in the day. You sit around in the back. How different will that be, or will it not even, you know, matter and bother you?
I believe for my second bare knuckle fight, I was the main event against Leonard Garcia. And, you know, I fought main events many, many times for Cage Warriors and over in Europe and stuff. And I really enjoy, though, like being like a third fight, maybe, you know, get a little bit of time to warm up, but get the fight going and then getting out there and enjoying the night, because I really enjoy watching these fights. Bare knuckle fights are crazy exciting. I'm not just saying that because I'm the star of Bare Knuckle, but I'm saying it because that's what kind of drew me to it. I never watched the Bare Knuckle fight until my first fight, and I couldn't believe how much action and nonstop it was. And I was like, this is crazy exciting. It's what MMA fans want mostly, you know? The casual MMA fan doesn't really care too much about the ground, you know? Unless you train jiu-jitsu, unless you really know about MMA, you're yelling, stand them up, stop hugging. So this is what every fan wants to see. So for me, fighting in the main event, it's cool and all. It's an awesome opportunity, but yeah, just the whole waiting around aspect, it just gets to you sometimes, and you're like, man, I just want to get out there and get this done already. So I just got to stay focused the whole time. I kind of stay busy. I move around a lot. You know, for the first couple of fights, I'm out there watching the fights, getting ready.
Good stuff. I can't wait. I know Matt and I will be there. We're looking forward to it. July 24th in Oxford, Mississippi. Jim, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold so we can get your address, so we can mail you out some 8-Man Strong for giving us some minutes of your time today.
For sure. Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure.
We'll see have you on again. That is Jim Allers. He is your main event on the 24th. And again, because Pat didn't come on, do we blow off Davenport and just do BKFC?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, we can do both.
Iowa's a lot further away than Mississippi, though.
Well, I don't know. You're driving. I don't really care.
That's true.
Josh is coming up momentarily. I know you're giving me looks.
I'm excited.
I know you're giving me looks.
Excited.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, let me know when to bring him on. I'll welcome him to the show.
No, I know you will. You know, they're going to let us know. Don't worry. Because I want to see what you got going.
Well.
Now, is this a produced thing, or are you doing it live?
It's all ad-lib. I got
no. Oh, you're ad-libbing. Ad-lib. Oh, my God. That's even
worse. It's all off the cuff. It's like raw, uncensored. Well, the FCC censored, apparently. but raw and uncomfortable. You know, so I got to bring some content to the show.
Yeah.
You usually do all the work, so.
What do you mean, usually? I always do.
I mean, I wanted to pull my own weight today.
Well, we'll see.
Feel like I've contributed.
Okay, we'll see.
I hope he doesn't blow me off.
I'm hoping he does.
Why?
I think it would be
awesome.
Because
he's supposed to be at 3:35. Well, we ran late.
I understand.
So and Cali's a long way away. Yeah, they just announced it. 9,700 new COVID cases in California today.
It's awful.
In 24 hours. And they were the most strict. I mean, California, they shut down the state early ahead of everybody.
Are you sure the number you gave me is right?
I hope so. I forwarded you what he forwarded me, so.
Check that number real quick. Hurry up. You know, I have a tendency to change numbers. Even though I'm not dyslexic, sometimes I think I am.
So the, you want me to call this number?
Huh?
That's the studio
no,
number?
No, that. Is that his number? Because if it is, then it's on
yes.
you.
Yes, that's it.
All right.
That's the number.
Yeah, he said it's some kind of like conference number. So it's not working. So now it's on you.
What do you mean?
It's not working. If that's the number, what I wrote down, wherever it is, if that number is correct, that's on you. Don't blame me.
I'm texting him right now.
It's some kind of conference number.
Well, that's a media line. He has his own media line. I mean, all superstars have a media line.
Oh, my God.
Batman had his own phone line.
That was the Bat line. That's right. Now, is this number at Alpha Male? Is this like, does Urias sit by the number and connect like whatever that?
Yeah, he's like a board operator.
Yeah, the board operator. Hold on, please. Number four.
It's, okay, I got the number.
Is that the right number?
It's a different number.
Oh, so you were wrong.
I'm sending this number to you.
No, just give it to me so I can give it.
There you go.
Oh, my God, you're killing me.
There you go.
You are absolutely.
We said you're dyslexic.
Yeah, but you said that I gave the right number.
And speaking of Uriah, I got a picture of him right above my wall, like right here.
Right above your bed?
No, it's right here, above my studio booth. One of three on the wall. I got Matt Hamill, the Hammer, and a non-bodybuilder, or a non-MMA fighter, but the biggest bodybuilder of all time.
So what was the number you gave me? Hold
Ronnie
on.
Coleman.
I don't care about Mark Coleman's uncle.
No, Ronnie Coleman. The number I gave you was from Josh.
Mark,
it was his media line.
Mark Coleman put up a thing about how he would have liked to have fought Stipe back in the day.
Okay.
Okay? And I hate the hypotheticals. I hate all that stuff.
Like Mike Tyson versus Tyson Fury?
Yeah, I mean, it's silly. Like, I have a shirt, and, you know, I only really wear Ain't Man Strong and Knockout Radio, but it was a shirt, Mike Tyson versus Chuck Norris.
All right.
Right. I mean, kind of cool. I don't know any heavyweight that could have beat Mark Coleman at UFC 11.
Right, yeah.
Take whoever you want today MMA.
He was a scary dude.
There's not many people that I'm scared of, literally, and we're friends. He was scary. He was Mike Tyson scary.
Yeah, that's
Mike Tyson scary
with leg kicks.
All right.
So usually we like to have the fighters come on right after the fights. Obviously, Randy. I mean, Mike Perry just fought Saturday, and here he was on today. This one took a little bit longer because he tore all of his knee, his ACL, his MCL, his AT&T. I don't know all the ligaments. But welcome to the show, Josh Emmett.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Welcome, Josh. Welcome to the show. You're on Knockout Radio. I had to reach out to you, man, after I heard you talk about after the fight of not doing media, not wanting to talk to the media. And so Randy asked why you didn't respond to his message, and I said, well, I'm a pizza guy. So from a pizza guy to you, man, welcome to the program.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, no, nothing against you guys. Certain things leading up to it and just from a lot of the stuff, just always just overlooking me, not giving me any credit. I was just pissed, mainly about my knee because I knew I hurt it bad in the fight, and then just things leading up to it and things. I was pissed.
So then I don't need to give Matt a lot of credit because this is the first constructive thing that he's done in the 4 years he's been on the air.
Is that right? Nice.
Yeah. So we can't give him too much credit for that. Talk about what that was like, you know, going through it. Because I read somewhere that you knew right away and you just said that you knew. How were you able to block out? You know, I've torn mine as well. I know how painful it is. And I couldn't even walk. How do you fight through that, literally?
Yes, I think it's just like I've said it time to time before. My mentality and my mindset is my strongest and greatest attribute. And fighting is way more mental than physical. And yeah, I've sustained a ton of injuries, like in my MMA career. You know, I feel like as a young child too, it's like my mom was a single mother, raised my older brother and I. There's a lot of just like, you know, substance abuse and just, yeah, mental illness and things like that. Just a lot of things that I've went through, and that kind of created me into like this strong individual at a young age. And then obviously growing up and just, you know, being an athlete and playing sports my whole life and really falling in love with wrestling and pursuing that at a young age all the way through college and stuff like that, that just molded me into to who I am. And then fighting, it's the same thing. So it's just I'm mentally strong as hell. You guys have seen it before. And my debut in the UFC, I had the worst hand injury in UFC history. I had a compound fracture. I was bone sticking out of my finger. I was hiding it from the ref so I can continue to fight. You know, I've broken my hand in fights before and had to dig down and get through that. I've broken ribs. I've had all the facial fractures and injuries come back strong. And then this was just something else. Like, I blew out my knee in the first 15 seconds because it was my fault. I stepped and I kind of slipped and hyperextended my knee. And I knew right then, like, something's seriously wrong. I have a high pain tolerance. But I had to dig down deep and just, you know, resort to plan B if there was one. And everything that I planned on doing in there just completely went out the window. But I couldn't stop or give up. And I think most fighters would have quit right there or looked for a way out. And it would have been okay with the injuries, but I couldn't live with myself with that. I'd be so pissed and in such a bad place right now if I, for one, did that, and then I only got one paycheck, and I had the injuries I sustained, and I'm going to be out. I'd be miserable. So,
sure.
To me, winning's everything, and the money, you know, the financial part of fighting is too. So, I'll be okay, and now I have some time to. I'm focusing on rehab and doing all that, and I'll beat whatever they tell me the time frame is. I will beat that and fight before I'm cleared. You know, in a perfect world, most people 9 to 12 months before they're cleared, I'll fight way before that. So that's my mindset.
You mentioned about the finger sticking out, and you kind of hit it so that they couldn't see it back in the day. Were you concerned? You know, and can they stop it? You know, if they call a doctor in and they see that it's a knee thing, can they stop it? Or as long as you hide it well enough, you don't have to really cross that bridge?
Yeah, I think they can. If you're in, like Jason Herzog, he's one of the best in the business for the referees and stuff. He knew I was, like, seriously hurt, and he kept coming over to me after the rounds, and he's like, how are you doing? You know, are you okay? I'm like, yep, great. You know, like, I'm never going to cower away or look for a way out. It's like the same thing you see all the time. Someone gets poked in the eye, and then the doctor comes in. The first thing they say is, can you see? If you say no, you're just saying, like, hey, stop the fight. You might as well say
right,
that.
Exactly.
Like, even if I can't see, things are blurry, I can see perfect. You know, it's that's just me, you know. And I respect everyone that gets in there and fights, whether they're an amateur, professional, whatever, at the highest, lowest level. Anyone that can get in there, I 100% respect, but it's just, there's levels to this. And for what I want to accomplish and what I'm chasing, I will never look for a way out or cower away from anything, especially in a fight.
Hey, Josh, so the topic this week, the hot button, is Mike Perry had his girlfriend corner him. You know, in that moment when you said everything, all your plans went out the window, like your knee was shattered, how much do you rely on your coach and your corner to get you through that moment? And how much of that was from just you being the only man inside that octagon?
Yeah, it's, I like Mike Perry. We fought on a handful of cards together. You know, he's always been cool with me. Like, I'm a fan of his. He's a fan of mine. Like, I like a lot of things he says, you know, and if, you know, people always, I don't know, either love or don't like Mike Perry, but a lot of things he's saying are true. You know what I mean? Like, you're the one fighting. Sometimes when he's even saying, like, your coaches are talking and doing all this stuff, like, sometimes I'm not even paying attention. I can't even think of what they just said. So, would I do that? Probably not, just because I have some of the best coaches, the best corner. They're seeing things from the outside and they're calling things. So, and I listen. I'm very coachable. I don't go right away because obviously my opponent can hear it, but I'll wait a little bit and then I'll do it. I also listen to my opponent's corners, and sometimes when they're calling out combos and they're not saying like a code word, they're actually calling out the combo, I'll throw it, what they're calling out, just to mess with them. But I 100% agree with Perry on a lot of things. Like, at that moment, my coaches knew I was hurt because of what I was doing and how I was. I couldn't move and my knee was buckling and there was no stability. But I just had to, you know, I could fight. Like, I've wrestled my whole life. I've gone to freestyle tournaments, and that's when it's in kind of the off season. I would drive myself to a tournament and go compete in a tournament and win it. And I have no coach in the corner. So it's like, I've done that with wrestling. I could, if, like, say the COVID thing was different and they said there was no corners or anything, I could go in there and fight, you know, without corners, and I would do just fine. But I just trust my corners and everything so much, which I wouldn't want to do that, but I could.
You know, another controversy that's been going on, you know, the Anthony Smith in Jacksonville and then the fight a couple weeks ago. With the injury, what if your corner that's always looking after you, they know what kind of person you are and they know that you can fight through it, but what if they would have stopped it?
Man, yeah, and that's one thing I go back and forth with. My boxing coach, Joey Rodriguez, he always tells me if it's going bad, he says, I will throw in the towel and you're going to hate me, but we'll deal with it if it comes to that point. But I always tell him, like, don't do that. Because, yeah, it would be hard. And same thing with Anthony Smith. Like, yeah, I saw that his corner could have done that, and they were getting a lot of, you know, like a bad rap and all that. But Anthony Smith was doing what he had to do. You know, he wasn't looking for a way out. He would defend himself. The ref was talking to him, about to jump in, and then he would do enough so the ref would not do it. Even when he was coming back saying his teeth were broke, all these type of things. I don't know. It's a tough topic to discuss. I would be upset. Like, I would be upset, like, with my coaches. I know they're looking out for my best interest, but especially something on this. I told Danny when he came into the corner, I said, hey, like, my knee's shot. It's fucked up. Like, and he said, oh, I see that. Like, and he was just saying, like, it was kind of funny because he was like, shh, in my ear because it's so quiet in there, and he didn't want the other corner to know. He's like, oh, hell, this, you know, but I'm like, you know, like, obviously Burgos and his coaches saw, because then he came out and he was kicking and attacking that leg, which I don't blame him. I would have done the exact same thing. But I just couldn't move. And I used to say, not only tore all my ligaments and did all this stuff, I fractured my femur. I fractured my tibia. I did, like, the list goes on and on.
Talk about the precedents that you have now set. You know, this is now back-to-back bonuses. So is that something that we should expect from now on? And should I call you when it's not a bonus?
Yeah, man, I feel like the UFC and Dana and all those guys are making up for lost times, because I can argue there's several times I should have got a bonus. I was a shoo-in for bonuses, and I feel like things are going back to what I was kind of saying with certain things. There's politics and everything.
Sure.
The Michael Johnson fight, do you guys see that knockout?
Yeah, yeah.
We were there.
do you think I got a bonus for that? No, I didn't get a bonus for that. I don't know how in the hell that happened. Even when I made my debut, like I said, on 4-day notice across on the other side of the world and had to fight through that hand injury, you know, stuff like that. I made my featherweight debut. I had, like, I set a bunch of records. I didn't get anything. When I fought Scott Holtzman, we had the fight of the night. Fans, everyone, UFC staff were saying, that's fight of the night. You guys are shooing politics. I didn't get it. You know, it's like, so I feel like they're making up for lost time, and now they know the value that I have. And I feel like that last fight, okay, it was okay according to other people, but not in my mind. I fought at like 20-30% of my capabilities. And so it'll get better and better. And I feel like, yeah, I always try to be exciting and entertaining, and I've never been in a boring fight, and I never will. So I was trying to get two bonuses that night, but then since I only had one leg, I couldn't put them away.
Well, it's awful that they shafted you before, but it's certainly nice of them to make it up to you.
Yeah, that's right. We'll stay positive.
That's the way we're going to look at it. Josh, thank you very much for your time. Sorry that we were a couple minutes late. We're going to put you on hold so that we can send you out some 8-Man Strong for coming on and talking to us today.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for saving my radio career, Josh. You made me a superstar today.
I'm not going to fire him for another week. He'll stay with me at least one more week. That is Josh Emmett. We appreciate his time. Awesome fight. Awesome heart.
What a warrior.
Well, you know, and I saw, and I know we only have about a minute, but I saw a post, you know, who's the toughest? And they put up three photos. And it's like anybody, first of all, that gets in a fist fight for a living is tough.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's ridiculous to say this guy's tougher than that guy. And they did not put this guy, Josh Emmett, in the picture.
This guy's a warrior.
When I tore mine playing basketball, I cried all the way home. And I guarantee you, I didn't finish playing the game.
Right.
I hobbled in the car and I drove home. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We will be back. I'll be in Atlanta with some guests. You'll be back in studio. This is and has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Naked Pizza Man 1.
See everybody next week.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.